welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. Appreciate your desire not only to come and enjoy friendship and fellowship with one another, but to gather as a congregation to give our worship to God together. This lesson this morning is a continuation from last Lord's Day morning concerning the armor of God. Last week we just noted the three abilities that the armor provided for us, and we identified the enemy. The lesson this morning concerns itself with the individual items contained or identified in God's armor. You've been with us for last Sunday and today, and even in Bible class this morning, it just so happened our Bible class lesson was on Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God, so I kind of was giving a sermon in anticipation of this morning's Bible class lesson. So some of you have been hearing this for the third time. You've been with it. Kind of like the man who was in divorce court, and after listening to everything presented, he said to the judge, he said, "Judge, I just plead guilty and waive the hearing." And the judge said, "What do you mean you waive the hearing?" He says, "I mean, I don't want to hear any more about it." You may be that way, having this being the third time you're going to be hearing a lesson on the Christian armor, but hopefully we'll see it as a valuable information or instruction. I put in your opening that the Bible gives the illustration of spiritual warfare. Even in this text, it mentions that we wrestle. He mentions in 1 Corinthians we fight. He told Timothy we're fighting the good fight. He mentions we are good at behaving ourselves as good soldiers. We have a war. That I fought a good fight when it was finished. So in other words, we know that we are engaged in battle, and that's the illustration that's being presented to us in this particular text that was read to us in Ephesians chapter 6. He mentions that specifically it's the whole armor of God, meaning that you have to put on all of it. Complete the ensemble. When you get dressed, you try to sometimes match things up, or you make sure you are dressed, so to speak, from head to toe. You don't want to leave something significant off. So put 100% of the armor on, all the pieces, the entire thing, the totality of the armor. And this noted, the armor is of God. God's given us essential armor. The armor that's listed is by God's design. Because it's God's armor and He designed it, it will accomplish His purpose when we put it on. So here's the armor that's listed. Number one is found in verse 14, Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul begins the verse by saying, "Stand therefore." Having, meaning you, if this is done, if this is accomplished, having your loins girded about with truth. And the illustration is of the soldier, the Roman soldier. And this skirt-like equipment wrapped around him. Many times made of heavy leather, and kind of like a metal apron. From his waist to his knees. Went around the soldier's body. Covered him front and back. They were just skirted his midsection, and you have the picture in your mind. But now with the Bible, Paul is admonishing us that we want to gird our body, our midsection, with truth. He's saying, stand your ground with your waist encircled with truth, and we know what truth is because Jesus said, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. So we need to have the truth of God wrapped around us. And that will enable us to stand, and as the verse says, to withstand and to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. So one of the first things he mentions around so that you can resist false teaching, false doctrine, the world's thinking, even the world's preaching, and what they throw against us. Number two, verse 14, the second item, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate. Described in the Bible dictionary as a coat of mail or a metal mesh that covered the chest and the back and the shoulders, kind of the torso of the body. It could have been made of leather or a quilted cloth or linen. Might have been had some brass or iron. There were joints between the pieces of this breastplate to tie onto adjacent armor. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 5, put that one in your notes. But 1 Samuel 17, verse 5, it mentions Goliath. The Goliath of Gath, says, he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels. Wow. Goliath, the soldier, represented the army, had his equipment on. But these, Paul then is describing this, and I want you to have a breastplate, not of heavy metal, but of righteousness. It's interesting that every piece of equipment is somehow associated with the Word of God. When he mentions being girt about with truth, well, thy word is truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Well, Psalm 119, verse 172 says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So the word, righteousness. So our breastplate of righteousness is walking or wrapping ourselves again in the Word of God. 1 John 3, verse 7 says, my little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous. So it seems like there's something about doing righteousness, and it attributes to our righteousness, our relationship to God, and our ability to defeat what the devil throws against us. And again, it's associated with the Word of God. Wrap it around your torso. Number three, verse 15. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The soldier's shoes, put in your notes, enabled him to stand, to walk, run, keep a balance, especially in battle. It being barefoot and rugged terrain was a hindrance, and it would hurt just physically. I've walked barefoot before, and you have too. Not so bad on the carpet. Feels pretty good. But you can try to go across the pavement. Ooh, it's a little hot, you know, time of year. Or you get those pebbles. Oh, you walk a little gingerly. You don't walk as steadfast and sure as you do when you have shoes on your feet. So Paul puts this next item of the Christian's armor. Be sure that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And your feet are shod, it means, you know, there's that preparation of the gospel that's fastened securely. It's nailed. It's glued in, so to speak. It's firm. It's strong. It's stable. We want to make sure that the gospel is fastened securely to us. As we're walking about in our daily life and having that occasion to present the gospel of peace, that reconciliation to others as we live. We need that preparation, interesting word, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Means to develop a firm and unwavering stand in the gospel. Prepare yourself to talk about the Word of God. Prepare yourself with the gospel. Prepare not only to be taught and to learn, but then to go and share. Preparation. Some people wonder why we emphasize Bible class or our friendship, our fellowship so often. Let's get together more often. Let's encourage and let's edify and build up, because there's a preparation that needs to be in place. Romans 10 verse 15, it says, as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. So put your gospel shoes on. Number four, in verse 16, taking the shield of faith. In other words, take the shield that faith provides you. Your faith and mine is a shield. Our faith is designed to accomplish certain things. Take the shield of faith. Now that shield of the soldier, you know, it could measure 2 by 4 feet, various sizes and shapes. Might be a circle or a rectangle. It was held on the arm, but even though it was held on the arm, it was designed to protect the entire body. And sometimes soldiers would stand side by side, and they could place their shields together, one touching the next, and it would form a wall, and it would keep them safe from the enemy's arrows. And so with that shield that the soldier had and the others, they could squat or sit down behind it and be protected from the things that were coming toward them physically in battle. Our faith, your faith and mine, is a similar defense from the text as all the fiery darts of the evil one. Our faith is a result of our hearing God's word in Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If your shield of faith is not strong and it hasn't enabled you to quench the fiery darts of the evil one, you and I need to spend more time in God's word. If your shield that faith provides is not strong, Bible study. Faith, your shield, comes from hearing the word of God. So that's why we encourage that. We're to take up the shield that our faith provides, and again, with it, we have ability. Our faith gives expression and conviction in daily living. It's visible. You knew when you saw a soldier coming with a shield many times, that would be out front. Your faith should be out front as we live our life. A shield of faith based on God's word. And it helps determine our attitude and action. Number five, the helmet of salvation. In other words, you change those words around, take salvation for a helmet. See, the soldier's helmet, again, Bible dictionary says it was made of thick leather and bronze or brass, covered the soldier's head and many times the cheeks. There'd be a little flap that would come down. The intelligent soldier would want to cover the source of his intelligence or his mind, his thinking, protect that mind. And so now the Apostle Paul says, I want you to take the helmet of salvation. Keep your spiritual life protected. And again, by Bible study, Bible classes, assembling together, exhorting one another. We use our minds to think about the best way to do things or to go about our life. We use our thought processes even in encouraging one another. We may even use our minds and let me share you with experience that I had, but it's that thinking. And we are to keep our hearts, because out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinketh, so is he. Oh, the mind. The helmet. The helmet.
1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, I put that one in your notes. Let us, who are of the day, be sober. He mentions the breastplate. And this one's of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Number 6 is the Spirit sword. Verse 17. Take the sword of the Spirit. That sword is used, obviously, for offense and defense. But he identifies it specifically, which is the Word of God. And remember that even during the life of Jesus, newly baptized, and he led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Brand new. You would think, surely, oh, the devil's going to maybe want to stay away for a while, but no. The next event after his baptism are temptations. And you and I are not exempt from that. Even immediately after our baptism, be things coming at us. But with every temptation, Jesus met it with, it's written. Ah, Jesus, where'd you get the ability to resist those? Oh, I use the Spirit's sword, which is the Word of God. It's written. It's written. Psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The power, the ability of God's word. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, after it mentions that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, then he mentions its profitableness. It's inspired of God, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. The power of God's word. Take up the sword of the Spirit. And the last one, number 7, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. I even mentioned in our Bible class lesson this morning in the verse that there's four alls in this prayer. Four alls. Praying always, number 1. Means don't ever get up. Pray always. In all conditions, all circumstances, all occasions. You have all this armor. Don't forget prayer. Now God help me. Pray. So pray always with all prayer. All prayer. All kinds of prayer. Public, private, intercession, supplication, thanksgiving. It's prayer. Whatever kind of prayer it takes, always use all prayer. Then the next one says, with all perseverance and supplication. In other words, even when it seems that times are tough, times are discouraging, seemingly hopeless, but you don't let anything hinder prayer. With all perseverance. Third all. Then the next one, for all the saints. All saints. In Paul's letters, he always let them know he was praying for them. We say specifically, I'm praying for you. Oh, I pray that. Let them know the content of his prayer. Did you know that no soldier entering battle fights for himself alone? No soldier fights just for himself, but for fellow soldiers, those who are beside them. We, as individuals, form one army. We have a common cause, and we must pray and fight for one another. Just as a soldier in battle will be elbow to elbow with his fellow soldier, going through thick and thin, as we might say. But we're in this together, they would say. So now we pray not valuable or cannot make a contribution to the success of the congregation. So we pray for one another. And when we finish praying, we may even ask, what do you need? How can I help you? Let me get that for you. I see that you need some help. Even before they ask, let me get that. For all the saints. And then it says, and watching. So I put in your notes, there's a sense that we pray with eyes open. Pray with eyes open. Be alert. Be awake. Jesus even said in the garden when he came back to the disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Look out. Watch while you pray. And then Paul said, and for me. Well, even though he said, I'm praying for you. And we need to pray for everybody. Now pray for me. Him specifically. That utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For praying always, with all prayer, in all perseverance for all the saints. That's the Christian's armor. We simply ask you to report for duty. Report for duty. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation that provides you who are in the assembly an opportunity to become a Christian if you're not have not already done so. So we give you this simple plan or steps or formula or ingredients to become a Christian. And number one being, you'll hear the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, the closing verses, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come, learn of me. You need to be taught. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So we have to preach the gospel to every creature. Second, you'll need to believe that. And Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sin. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So you'll need to hear, and then you'll need to believe the message that God so loved the world. Then you'll need to repent, that third ingredient or step Jesus himself said it in Luke chapter 3. Except you repent, you'll perish. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, as the Ethiopian did to Philip in Acts chapter 8. After he preaches to him a message of Jesus based on Isaiah chapter 53, the Ethiopian stops him in his sermon and says, here in water, what hinders or stops me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, oh, he made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip said, stop the chariot. Right now. Stop the chariot. And so they both went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptized him. They both came up out of the water, and then the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing, and Philip is caught away and goes to another place. So a very simple formula or steps. Hear that good news. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And then be baptized. And from that point on, Paul said in Romans chapter 6, the opening verses, then you rise to walk in newness of life. When did new life begin? Oh, after the fifth death. At the end. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, brand new in Christ. And you're baptized into Christ Jesus, Galatians 3, verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. Every lesson, we give that invitation. Whosoever will may come. We're going to sing this song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you need to respond in a public way while we're gathered here to rejoice with you in that decision, just come and have a seat beside me.